This is the Last Minute Blues Podcast with Donnie Fandango, Jeff Burton, Alex Ferrario, and former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers.
It is the Last Minute Blues Podcast. Donnie Fandango joined in studio by Mr. Alex Ferrario from 101 ESPN. Our co-host, Jeremy Rutherford, get ready to go to New York.
Of course he is. Traveling on the Athletics dime, Donnie. Just traveling. No coincidence he skipped that Canada trip, but he's like, East Coast?
New York?
Yes, sir.
New York? Yes, please.
Boston?
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Sign me up. Well, and it's so funny Jeremy is so awesome and one of the nicest dudes. And so, like, obviously his career is a freaking beat writer for the Blues. And he will message us this week. Guys, I'm so sorry I can't do the podcast. I got to finish this article for this thing. I'm so sorry.
Between me and JR, Donnie, you probably get more sorry text messages than you ever got in your life.
Oh, dudes, but it's so appreciated. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're all on the same page. We're all trying to make it happen. I just love it, man. Like, because when you guys say you can't do it, it's like you're telling me, like, I don't know, about Santa Claus or something, and you're like, now I'm trying to hurt my feelings, and I appreciate it.
I feel like when I text, like, hey, I'm going to be late, or hey, I'm not going to be able to do it, I feel like I just told somebody that their, like, significant other died. Like, that's how painful it feels.
Yeah.
Like, when we were in the hospital with Emma because of her the stitches in her ear, and we had to cancel that show, I was trying to figure out, like, okay, well, if I leave at 9 a.m. and I do the podcast and I get done at 9:15 and I have one person come up, like, I'm trying to make 18 different schedules work, but... Yeah. I mean, it goes to show. I mean, I know JR loves doing this podcast. I do as well. So it goes to show you, it's like, that's all we want to do.
Well, no, that's great. Okay. And I appreciate
that. Lay off the sorries.
But guys, we just got to calm down a little bit. We don't need it to be like, I just don't want you to feel bad for the love of friggin' Pete.
Is apologies less intense as sorry? So, like, when you text somebody and you're like, hey, I'm so sorry, I can't do this. If you just say, hey, I can't do this, apologies, is that less intense or is it the same?
Well, here's the way that I just look at it, just because of the way that we all are, with the way that we're homies.
Uh-huh.
Is like, if you dudes are like, I can't be here because I've got this going on.
Yeah.
I know that you've got something going on because you like doing the podcast and
right.
would love to be here.
Yeah.
And so, like, anything extra that you want to tell me. Cool, but you know, man, you're my homie, and I trust.
Donnie's like, dude, I don't need your life story.
Or, you know, man, like, I just don't want anybody feeling bad if they can't make
right.
it. For the love of Pete, there's a million things in this world that we can feel bad about, but this does not need to be.
Don't let the podcast take you down. Understandable.
Okay. So, a few things here, and I am all over the place. I've got my trusty notepad with some notes written down.
That means it's trade deadline season when you're all over the place,
dude. So, the first thing that I want to ask. So, watched the game last night, and it, to me, is another game that if it's not for Jordan Binnington,
yep.
the Blues don't win the game.
Mm-hmm.
How many, and I know that you can't, I know this off the top of your head, but there, I can't.
58 of 61.
I'm just thinking of all the game. I mean, how many times has Binner saved our collective asses this year? It's been incredible.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just off of recency, because, it's going to be too difficult to go through all of these, but the ones that I know stand out to me that Binnington is the reason you won that game. Vegas Golden Knights, remember that 2-1 victory that they had?
Yep.
That was all Binnington. I think he stopped like 40-something shots.
He was unbelievable.
He was crazy good.
Yeah.
The West Coast swing that they had, and I'll put Hofer into that as well because he played one of those. But when they beat Calgary, Vancouver, and Seattle, two of those three were Jordan Binnington, and Hofer got the one victory. The game against the Edmonton Oilers here in St. Louis, that was all Binnington.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I was at that.
The first period.
Yeah, he had like two of those. Oh, God.
On
Zach
Hyman, right, yeah.
Going nuts.
I would say the LA Kings game that was played here in St. Louis at the end of February, that was all Jordan Binnington. And this last game was Jordan Binnington. And sprinkle in the games that they beat the Dallas Stars, probably the game that they beat the Colorado Avalanche. I mean, he's played 34, 35 games this season. And Donnie, I would say on one hand, I could count the amount of games that Jordan Binnington wasn't the sole reason that the Blues won that game.
Yeah, man. There is something so much not only about him and what he does, but his presence. He is just a kind of guy that I want to be here when this new crop of Blues players come in.
Yep. I'm so glad you said that because I brought this up on postgame because I do Ted Drew's three takeaways where I have three takeaways in the game, and I almost feel bad that I use the same one, but that's Binnington. Like, all season it's been the goaltending is the reason you won that game. But I took a different stance on it last night. Like, sure, Jordan Binnington, incredible. We know that. I think he's among goalies that have won 20 or more games. He's top five in save percentage. He's the best goaltender in the National Hockey League who has played 20 or more games in terms of high danger save percentage. And I said, with Jordan Binnington, what this does, and you need these goalies to win if you're a retooling or a rebuilding team. Like, take the San Jose Sharks, for example, right now, or the Arizona Coyotes. They're in a rebuild and have been in a rebuild for a long time, because the more you try and grow your younger players in the defensive position and the forward position, if you got a goaltender that's letting in goals when your players are leaky, when your players are trying to learn the NHL game, the speed, then when you make mistakes, if your goaltender isn't going to be able to make the saves when those guys make mistakes, those guys' growth takes a massive hit. Because when a player goes out, and let's take Zach Bolduc, for example. Bolduc turns the puck over in the neutral zone trying to make a play. If that puck comes back the other way and Binnington gives it up, or whoever you have in net is leaky and you're like, oh my God, I don't think he's going to make this save, then every time Bolduc steps on the ice, it's, I got to be perfect. Yep. I can't make this mistake.
Yeah.
And then when you got a 20-year-old who's trying to be perfect, you have no growing pains. You have no ability to take chances to see what you can do, because you're built like a robot and you got to play like this. If I don't play like this, I'm going back to the minor leagues. Where a team is like the Blues in a retool, you have the luxury of Jordan Binnington. So when a Neighbors makes a mistake, a Matthew Kessel makes a mistake, a Zach Bolduc, a Jimmy Snuggerud, when these guys make mistakes, hey, my goaltenders, I got you guys.
Yeah.
So then you could go out there and try that same play again. Now, you don't want them being stupid out there and not dumping the puck in and trying to dance players, but I want my guys to take chances. I want you to take shots. I want you to put pucks on net. I want you to try and make plays happen. Goaltenders got you. That's what you need in a retool. That's how you get out of a retool faster.
Man, and I mean, you know, he was one of the guys that we, you know, a month or so ago, hey, you've got goalie needy teams that probably pay out the wazoo to get a Binnington.
Absolutely.
But to me, and it's not as though that wasn't an off limits thing before, because I think I was pretty staunch in that. But now I just don't see this. If he is gone, things get real messy real friggin' fast.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, BK brought it up because this is rumor season. Everybody's throwing out there to see what's going on. Somebody brought up that Colton Parayko's name is being floated out there. And I shut that down immediately. I said, guys, if you trade Colton Parayko or Jordan Binnington, this is not a retool. It's a rebuild.
Yeah.
Because now I'm searching for my next goaltender. And look, I love Joel Hofer, but it might take Joel Hofer a few years before he gets to where Jordan Binnington
is. We're not there yet.
No. You trade Colton Parayko, you're searching for the next Colton Parayko. So you're not making any of those moves. And I even floated the idea, too, where it's like, you know what? Maybe you have to listen to Jordan Binnington. But the more I thought about it, you can't, because if you get rid of Jordan Binnington, there's no growth period for anybody else. Binnington keeps you competitive. The reason we're talking, Donnie, about not selling off all of the pieces on Friday, and that we're talking like, hey, they're 5 points out of a playoff spot, is because of Jordan Binnington. If you get in, Binnington could rob you a series, where if you don't have him, let's say you still have Ville Husso.
Right.
I don't think you're talking that same way. You're thinking, our goaltending's not good enough. We need to ship off until we get a better roster in front of them.
All right. So, okay. A lot to chop off here, or a lot to chop up here. But one of the areas that I kind of wanted to focus in on today is in watching the game last night. Man, you are watching the Philadelphia Flyers block every goddamn thing that's put in their way. It seems like that team knows their skill level, where they maximize, and they know where they need to make up for it, which is hustle and working their friggin' asses off. In watching this last night, I just get the idea and the feeling in my head that Drew Bannister is gone after the end of this year, because to me, this is virtually the same things that were going on with Craig Berube are going on here.
Right.
This is not something that has been drastically improved with Drew Bannister. And also, too, with the way that he is so intense, I could absolutely see it being a season and a half, and then the guys have turned him off and are on to,
right.
What's going on here?
What,
man?
You just said right there is where the problem. It's a roster issue. I mean, and
period.
Look, it's not just the Blues, guys. Like, the Devils just fired Lindy Ruff.
Yeah.
Lindy Ruff was getting his name chanted at New Jersey Devils games last season. They gave him a contract extension in a matter of a season where that team didn't have their best defenseman, didn't have their best player for 20 games, and hasn't had a good goaltender all season.
Right.
Coach got fired because the team wasn't performing. And I tweeted this out last night. It's like the NHL's got a firing problem to where it's like, couple of years, team's bad, you got to fire the coach because you got to send a message.
Well, real quick, and not to interrupt you, but JK said during the game last night, 8 coaches fired in the NHL this year. That's a freaking quarter of the league.
Yeah. Well, and so listen to this. I got to pull this up while we're talking because Peter Baugh, who used to be an intern for the Post-Dispatch, then covered the Colorado Avalanche. Now he's covering the New York Rangers, who Peter LaViolette is the head coach for the Rangers. Yeah, listen to this. Peter LaViolette has a longer tenure, who was hired in June, than 8 coaches in the NHL this season. A guy who was hired in June has a longer tenured coach than 8 coaches in the NHL. And, like, think about it. Berube, DJ Smith, Lindy Ruff, Dean Evason. Like, all of these guys were fired because why? The team wasn't performing and you had to send a message. So, long answer to say this. I don't know what they're going to do with Drew Bannister. If I look at the coaching available options now, and I don't think any are better than Drew Bannister.
Right.
I don't think Todd McClellan makes a difference for this team. I don't think bringing in a Bruce Boudreau makes a difference for this team. Honestly, the best coach that's out there is the guy that you fired in Craig Berube. You're not bringing him back.
Right.
So if that's what's out there, I'm going to keep Drew Bannister. Because if I'm Doug Armstrong, I realize that, yeah, we got a roster problem. Because one night, my team doesn't show up and say, well, we needed a message sent to us in February because this is playoff season. The next night, you go out there and you play well, and then the next night, you go out there and lay a dud. They're doing the same thing Armstrong talked about on December 13th, that I go to the rink not knowing what to expect. Mm-hmm. Elliot Friedman said the same thing.
Yeah, wasn't that yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, one day, I feel like this team could beat the 1977 Montreal Canadiens. The next, I don't think they could beat the expansion Washington Capitals.
Yeah, so, it's mystifying.
It is. You know that it's a roster problem. And Drew Bannister is saying everything that Craig Berube was saying. We need a forecheck. We need to get in. We need to stop with the rush chances. We need to shoot more pucks. He's saying the same thing.
It's like literally the same thing.
It's the same coach with a different name right now. So if these options are available, I'm going to keep Drew Bannister, and I know I'm going to fix the roster. If coaches become available, because we all know how the NHL goes, look at how many guys were fired. If first round exits or you don't make the playoffs, you're going to get fired. There are certain names that would intrigue me. Sheldon Keefe, I think, is a very interesting option. I've mentioned him before with you. Jim Montgomery is an interesting option. I don't think Boston fires him, but that's back-to-back years if Boston gets bounced in the first round.
Sure.
Do they decide to do something else? I don't know. I'm spitballing here. Rod Brind'Amour, we brought him up. Does
he
get
fired?
We still
don't know that situation in Carolina.
Don't know what's going to happen there with Carolina. So there are very intriguing options that could be available this offseason. And if they are, I'm going to go try and get a coach that can instill a different method into the team than what Bannister's trying to do. Because maybe just the Berube Bannister method isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel like this team needs to get back into forechecking and knock off the rush chances. Because I think forechecking, we're seeing it. Look at Jake Neighbors with 20 goals this season. When you forecheck, when you sustain offensive zone time, and you go to the front of the net, you're scoring goals. Torrey Krug even said it the other day that, like, look, when we're working hard and going to the front of the net, we're going to win hockey games. So if Bannister can't get those guys to do it, then you might need a new head coach to do it. But I personally think the roster needs to be shifted also in the offseason before you decide on a new head coach.
All right, so I don't want to start a fight. I don't want to talk about the same. No, we,
Donnie, we
start,
love each other.
No,
we're not going to fight.
We wouldn't start a fight. It would be more with Blues fans more than anything else.
Well, that's very true.
I don't. How does this situation change without a massive splash of a trade? And yes, I'm talking about Jordan Kyrou.
Simple answer, it doesn't.
Period.
It doesn't. I mean, to me, you could go out there and get another coach. You can bring in a new voice that comes in and says, guys, we got a forecheck.
It'll be the same thing all over again, Alex.
I mean, like, we've done this already.
Yes!
And it doesn't, I don't think it's just Jordan Kyrou. I want to make that very clear. I know we always kind of go to him. It's the whipping boy, which always happens in sports.
Yes.
But I do think that there are a lot of players, and Jeff Merrick said this on the 32 Thoughts podcast also, when a team is inconsistent, there are guys playing higher than they should be on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with them 100%. I mean, if you look at this roster, you look at certain guys and you're thinking, probably on a best, if they were traded to a Stanley Cup contender, where would they be playing?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I always judge it. Like, let's take the Edmonton Oilers. If you traded Jordan Kyrou to the Edmonton Oilers right now, where would he be playing?
Well, but isn't he kind of an anomaly because of the skill set that he has?
Maybe, but do you think he's going to play with Connor McDavid and Ryan Nugent? Is he going to offset Zach Hyman, Nugent Hopkins, or Connor McDavid?
Well, no, because he would add a defensive liability to that
exactly.
prospect, correct?
So you're talking, is he playing with Leon Draisaitl, Evander Kane, or Warren Fogle? I would say he's an upgrade over Warren Fogle. So
sure.
Second line player, Brandon Saad. If you put Brandon Saad on the Edmonton Oilers, where is he playing?
Well, wait. No, he's probably going to be a third or fourth liner.
Exactly. If you trade Kasperi Kapanen to the Colorado Avalanche, where's he playing? We're fourth line.
Yeah.
So that's, and I think Jeff Merrick is spot on with it. If you look at where the Blues are, and again, let's make this very clear, like blinking red lights, this is a retool. And this is what happens. In retools, you have to plug holes until guys are ready.
Yes.
Jimmy Snuggerud could be here next year. He could be in the top six, and you could be pushing guys down. But to answer your question, you've done this for 2 years now with this roster. And 1 year you traded O'Reilly and Tarasenko and Ivan Barbashev because you knew the team wasn't good enough. And you put all those guys in the forefront and say, you're the leaders now. Got a little better, but it didn't get much better.
Yeah.
This season, it has been just as inconsistent. Now, you've been better than last season, but you've still been inconsistent. So, again, you can go out there and hire Rod Brind'Amour and have Rod Brind'Amour come in. But Rod Brind'Amour is going to come in and say the same thing that Craig Berube was saying and
right.
Drew Bannister was saying. Now, maybe it clicks because it's Rod Brind'Amour, but for how long?
Right.
I think right now if I'm Doug Armstrong, I look at my team and I look at the players that I'm relying on a nightly basis, and I'm saying, are they bringing the same effort every single night? Are they bringing the same consistency every single night? And if not, you have to make a hockey trade. And I don't think it's just forward. I think you still have to fix defense.
I think you still need
to make a change on defense. Special teams, you need to start getting some goal scorers. I mean, you still have no one-time threat on that power play, which is a massive piece of it. So, yeah, I don't think this is fixed in terms of let's wait for Snuggerud and Dvorsky and Stenberg. At some point, you'll have to be aggressive enough to say, we've got these guys coming, but let's start this retool fast and start putting pieces into place.
You know, as much as at the beginning of the year, I was one of the guys that was legitimately packing Torrey Krug's bags, in the last few weeks, I've really been watching that dude a lot because he's been playing so phenomenal. But like that game last night in Philly, I don't know who peed in his cornflakes, man, but he was friggin' jawing and chipping and the whole friggin' game.
Yeah.
I think Krug stays, Parayko stays. You got to find the partner for Parayko, right? Like mm-hmm. that almost is one of your,
yeah.
And including getting a score somewhere along the way, you got to get somebody to play with him. I just wonder about Letty. I wonder about Falk. And I wonder how much or what part of the issue is going on with those guys because they do get so much stinking ice time.
Right. Well, and I'll give Letty props. Letty has done an awesome job this season.
Right.
Like, I don't believe he is the permanent partner for Colton Parayko. And I think Jay Fresh, who does a lot of analytics work on social media, had put this out. And The Athletic did a piece on this as well to where they said, like, Colton Parayko has had a renaissance season, but he's still looking for that partner.
Mm-hmm.
And that partner is somebody who has to drive offense. Because you know Parayko, he can get back on both sides. He's big, plays defense heavy. You got to have somebody who drives the offense. I don't think that's Nick Leddy. If you were to tell me next season that the Blues brought in somebody to play with Colton Parayko and Nick Leddy is on your second pair, I'd be very excited about your defense. Because I think Nick Leddy has done a really awesome, like last night he played 25 minutes and was a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. But then it gets to the Torrey Krug factor, because Torrey Krug's not a third-line defenseman. Torrey Krug, I mean, he's producing for you right now. Whether you like him or not, he's producing offensively. He's helping your power play. And you're absolutely right. He brings fire that I don't think a lot of people on this roster does. I mean, last night the player took an extra hack at Binnington, and Krug almost took his head off.
Yeah.
Finally, somebody's willing to do that.
Hallelujah.
Right. So, but then it's the crowded room of defensemen, because you've got three spots on the right side and three spots on the left side. Pareko's going to be there. I permanently believe Matthew Kessel is going to be playing for you on a nightly basis next season.
And he should be.
And you've got one more hole to fill on the right side. Now let's go to the left side. Right now, I don't know if the Blues would say we have one guy that we believe should be there next season. It could be Krug. It could be Letty. It could be Perunovic. I can tell you Scandella's probably gone as an unrestricted free agent. And then you've got Tyler Tucker. So that's the options you have in front of you. Now play the game of what would teams be interested. I think teams absolutely would be interested in Nick Letty because of how he's played this season. Now, you still get two more years at $4 million. Do teams get a little weary about that? Maybe. But I think teams are interested in that. I would imagine when Torrey Krug's putting up 40 or 50 points, teams are at least like, oh, okay. But that's $6.5 million for the next, I think it's 3 years. Same with Justin Falk. Justin Falk's tough because he's had injuries this season. Yep. He has not had the season that you'd like. So now we get into the no-trade conversation again. Like, you had a deal in place last offseason for Travis Sanheim, but the player said no.
Right.
Do all three of those guys want to be here next season? Are there teams that are willing to trade for those three guys and eat the salary? Because the Blues aren't taking on any. So, like, this is not an easy thing that Doug Armstrong's trying to accomplish right now. I give him credit. You almost had it done last season, but the no-trade clause held you up.
All right, so with as abysmally terrible as the 5-on-5 scoring has been for the Blues here lately, if you trade Pavel Buchnevich before Friday, it's inevitably going to get worse.
Yeah.
Is that reason alone to just wait until the offseason?
I don't think it would be reason to do it. Like, you know that if you're Doug Armstrong, you were brutally honest in saying this isn't a playoff team. Mm-hmm. Maybe you make the playoffs, but if you're Doug Armstrong, I believe he already knows the fate of this team.
100%.
So if a team's willing to come to me and give me what I'm asking, and Friedman and Merrick both said, like, the quote from Doug Armstrong is, you can ask, you're not going to like the price.
Right.
Which, good for him. I expect you to be a hard ass on that side of it. If somebody calls and says, you know what? Screw it. We need a cup here. Carolina calls and says, we need a cup here. And we want to take two shots at this with Pavel Buchnevich. We'll trade you Martin Natchez, our best defensive prospect, and a first-round pick. I don't really care about my 5-on-5 play this season.
Sure.
Because now this does two things. I got back a player that could play for me right now. I got back a defenseman that projects to be a top pair defenseman.
And I got
a first-round pick. And if my team doesn't perform well, I'm going to get a better draft pick this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it feels awful to say because I'm a Blues fan. I want to see playoffs. But if a team's willing to match the price that Doug Armstrong is setting for you, I believe it benefits your team more in this retool to trade it. And if your team stinks the rest of the way, that's not a bad thing for your team to get a better draft pick. Because I've always believed if you're going to stink, if you're going to miss the playoffs, make it bad so you can get a better pick.
Right.
Don't miss the playoffs and be the 13th worst team in the NHL, because that doesn't do as much for you as the 8th worst team in the NHL.
And you did say that there was a significant fall off in prospects this year in like the 10-12 range.
Yeah,
as soon as
you get out of top 10, you're talking 3 years. At least that's what a lot of the prospect analysts believe.
All right. So, first of all, and I meant to lead the show off with this, but I don't know how long or what we need to do or how many years we need to wait until Steve Ott's kid is ready for the show.
Maverick, ladies and gentlemen.
Dude, that was one of the funniest and most amazing things. If you guys have not seen the video from the game on Saturday against Minnesota, they keyed in on the camera on the Jumbotron, keyed in on this kid who took off his shirt and starts getting everybody riled up. and it's Steve Ott's son. And they do the, there's a picture, there's, you know, video of Maverick doing it, and Ott is, and Steve is trying so hard not to laugh, but you could just kind of see that it's sort of percolating there. It's so awesome.
Well, you
man.
Saw Steve didn't see it originally. Somebody on the bench told him.
Oh,
like,
because
did
okay,
you see he
okay.
was looking around and then, like, he looked over here and then he went like this? So my guess is somebody told him, like, hey, Otter, and
he
looked
he
up,
it.
And he's like, oh, come on. I had Joey on pregame last night, and Joey coaches, and Steve Ott's son plays on those leagues, and so Joey and Steve were talking, and they were talking on this road trip, and Joey said he saw Maverick in the seats the whole time at Bally Sports Midwest. We were sitting up in the booth, and Maverick was down in the seat. And Joey said he kept his shirt off the rest of the game because he was hoping the camera would come back to him and wave the shirt. So, like, that makes the story even better. Not only did his son take his shirt off, but he kept it off because he was waiting to wave it again.
You know what, though, man? And I say this, and I know it's a corny-ass thing to say, but it is things like that. It is things that pop up during the course of games that, like, remind me, oh, hey. This is a game for fun.
Yeah. Like, we're supposed to be having fun here.
This is something that I need to take so goddamn seriously and make myself miserable about, you know? Like, you stop and go, oh, well, this is really right. freaking awesome, every bit of it. So, Islanders tonight.
Yeah.
Devils on Thursday.
Yeah.
I am incredibly, I mean, I understand why the Devils would move on from the coach. I know that they're going to be looking for that bump to try to kind of push them.
Right.
But boy, oh boy. I guess it's kind of like a low-risk move in the end, because if you're already kind of fizzling out of that playoff picture, then maybe you do this move to kind of punch yourself back in there.
Right.
Hopefully you can ride the wave into the playoffs, I guess.
I mean, yeah, you hope that the new coach bump puts you in. I mean,
but you still don't have a goalie, dude.
Well, that's the problem. Like, I just don't understand how team. Well, and look, Devils know that they don't have a goalie. Like, they were trying to go after Markstrom. They were trying to go after Yusei Saros. Problem is, you're going to have to pay a hefty price for a goaltender. I loved this quote. Let me read you this quote, Donnie, and tell me what comes to mind. This was from their general manager, Tom Fitzgerald, who talked earlier today. Accountability isn't always taking a kid and sitting his ass on the bench.
Yeah, Alex.
I mean, so, and look, he went on, because this is from one of the beat writers. He went on and he said one of their top players, Alex Holtz, he's not having a good year, and his role will improve if he improves on certain aspects of his game, good board battles, puck decisions. So, like, the general manager is basically saying what we just talked about.
Yep.
You can't. The only thing a coach is going to be able to do is bench a player. Mm-hmm. And what else is that going to do? If the guy's not willing to work for it, there's not much you can do. So he's talking about, like, look, we got to fire a coach because the coach wasn't getting the best out of these guys. Yeah, if you're New Jersey, it's the only thing you can do, because yeah. you were expected to be a cup contender this year, and you might miss the playoffs. That's brutal.
Yeah.
And you got a ton of money tied up moving forward. You've got some good young players in your pipeline, but some of these young players are already playing for you and it's not working out. So Travis Green, the guy that's taking over, was the Vancouver Canucks head coach before he got fired with Rick Tocchet. It just feels like teams are firing coaches to get a bump, and then we'll figure out what to do after that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think John Hines is the permanent solution in Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to be very aggressive in bringing in a head coach. I don't think Travis Green is the permanent replacement. I'm not sure if Patrick Waugh is the permanent replacement for the New York Islanders. That felt like a Lou Lamoriello. We need to light a fire under these guys' asses before the end of the season because we think we're a playoff team, and they hired Patrick Waugh. I just don't know. It doesn't feel like guys are permanent anymore in the NHL.
Yeah.
And unless your best players are best players, you're going to get fired and the next guy's going to come in.
Something has to give here. I mean, something along the lines over the years has got to sort of break this, because, I mean, I can't imagine that it's healthy for the game. I mean, I can't say it's not healthy for the game, but, like, I don't know. I just feel as though that there should still be that there should still be a certain group of coaches that get the opportunity, if they start to lose, to right the ship
again.
And that's the
salary cap. I mean, like, you fire coaches because you can't fire players. That's the line that you hear from every general manager when a coach gets fired. You can't fire all of the players, so the guy takes the bullet for everybody else. that's the salary cap. I mean, because teams are tight on cap and they don't have any wiggle room, you can't trade money in, money out for a guy that's not playing well. A team doesn't want to bring on salary from another player if the guy's not playing well because, well, now you're clogging up my salary cap space. Now, I think the salary cap is great for sports. Frankly, I think baseball should have a salary cap. But this is the hiccup with it. This is why you see coaches gone so much because, well, we're a cap team. We can't do anything. We're not bringing in anybody else. So we might as well get rid of the coach to see if somebody else can light a fire under these guys.
Do the Blues make any moves between now and Friday?
I believe they do.
And who do you think? Scandella, I feel like, is gone.
I do, too, especially after seeing what Ilya Lyubushkin got. I mean, that guy got a third-round pick.
Yeah.
If he got a third-round pick, Marco Scandella is a better defenseman than Ilya Lyubushkin. I don't know if a team pays a third-round pick for him, but Scandella's had an awesome year. So I think he gets moved. I do believe there will be one surprise trade. I don't know if that's Booch. I don't know if that's a Brandon Saad. I don't know if that's one of your defensemen. I do believe that Doug will pull off a surprising trade. Or at least you're going to hear rumors from very... very involved sources, like I'm talking Dreger, Friedman, LeBron, people like that. There will at least be rumors that the Blues are talking to another team, which I will tinfoil it and say that's the start of a hockey trade in the offseason.
Right, right.
Because sometimes you just can't get them done.
Right.
Sometimes there's just not enough wiggle room. There's not enough time to get third teams involved to eat salary. But if you don't have a surprise move by the deadline, it's just going to be the starting of the makings of one in the offseason.
And I believe, and I should have written down who this agent was saying, but there was a player agent, obviously without being named, that told a reporter, hey, I don't think that this deadline is going to be all that busy. I think it's going to be the offseason is where it starts to get percolating.
I agree.
What about like, who's going to get Gensel?
I think that's going to be Vegas. I think Vegas is going to make a multiplayer trade to get both Riley Smith and Jake Gensel. Because they got money to bring both of them in. Pittsburgh eats half of the salary. It's not going to matter to them. They get a better return. Jake Gensel goes there, and they get Riley Smith back, who was with them last year when they won the Cup. So I think both Gensel and Smith go there. I think Noah Hanifin goes to Tampa now that he's made his intentions very clear. And I think that's it. If Booch gets traded, I seriously believe that either Edmonton or Carolina are going to be very aggressive in going after Pavel Buchnevich. The question is, will they pay the price? And I'm purely speculating here, but I think the price is going to be two top prospects and a first-round pick from Edmonton, and I think Carolina is going to be a top prospect, a first-round pick, and one of your NHL players. Like, that's purely speculation, but that's what I would say the price is going to be, at least starting. And I think one of those teams tries to go aggressively after it. And if they scoff at it, they say, we'll revisit it in the offseason because you have one more year of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think one of the things in looking at the standings today before you came in that bothered me a little bit, just as a Blues fan, was seeing, you know, that Calgary has made two massive trades over the course of the last couple of months.
Yeah.
They're getting ready to for another one.
Mm-hmm.
Markstrom is most likely going to stay, but the team still won three in a friggin' row.
Right.
They're still playing pretty well. They have not stopped.
This goes back, Donnie. I forgot who I talked to. It was earlier this season on the pregame show, and we were talking about how Nashville has done this, like what they did to turn it around. And he said, look, it's all about culture. He said they got rid of Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson, who were two guys that just weren't great in the locker room, and the entire culture swung. And then you bring in Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen, and now it's just full-on investment. Calgary got rid of Christopher Tanev, who I don't think Tanev was bad. Tanev wanted to stay in Calgary. But they got rid of Tanev. You got rid of Zadorov, who was very outspoken about, you know, not wanting to be in Calgary if they weren't competing. You got rid of Elias Lindholm, that dark cloud hanging over their head, and you're about to get rid of Noah Hanifin. I mean, this is what the Blues had last year with three pending UFAs and the dark clouds hanging over what was going on. It makes absolute sense that Calgary's playing well right now. Jacob Markstrom has been good this season. You got back a goal scorer in Kuzmenko. You put players that were pushed down because of Elias Lindholm up into a higher spot. Calgary's just playing F it hockey.
Right. You know? The house money.
Yeah.
We got nothing to lose.
We're supposed to be bad. And now we got these opportunities where we're the guys. You got rid of these dudes who were, you know, uncertain of their futures. Screw it. Let's go out and play. And technically, that is what the Blues did also. I don't think Ryan O'Reilly was a dark cloud. I think the Blues probably should have kept Ryan O'Reilly. Ivan Barbashev wasn't a dark cloud. Teams, players were upset when he got moved away. But when all of them were gone, it was, F it. Look what happened. Right. Sammy Blay was a goal scorer. Jakub Vrana was a goal scorer. Kapanen came in and was a top nine forward for you. Sometimes when teams trade off, team players are like, well, screw this. I'm going to go out there and compete. So, yeah, I think Calgary is doing exactly what they probably should have done when they got rid of these guys.
So, really, you know what, man? We say all of this stuff. We talk about these Blues, the ins, the outs, the goaltending, the defense, the forwards, the whole thing. But to me, man, it comes back down to one thing. Culture.
Yep.
Period.
Always.
And until that is tweaked and fixed in this locker room, spinning your wheels.
Nothing matters. I mean, again, look at the teams that have been bad for a long time. Always was about culture, and you had to bring in the right guys. Nashville was supposed to be rebuilding this year.
Yeah.
And Barry Trotz,
they were not supposed to be here.
Barry Trotz said, we're rebuilding this season. And he went out there and brought in culture guys. Ryan O'Reilly was on the down spiral, right? That's what everybody was saying. He's old. He's got like 51 points in 64 games.
Like 22 goals, something like that.
Yeah, Luke Shen was supposed to be old and on the back end. Well, Luke Shen's been one of their top defensemen this year in terms of ice time. Like, sometimes it's about bringing in the right guys that gets everybody else involved. And I'll say this real quick. I know a lot of people are down on Kevin Hayes. Jake Neighbors said something post-game last night that perked my ears. He's like, I know Kevin Hayes has not been what he wanted to be this season, but Kevin Hayes has found a way to keep us light in the locker room, which is massive for a team in this time of the season. And think about it, Donnie. How many five or more game losing streaks took place last season for the Blues? I think it was three of them?
Yeah.
How many five or more game winning losing streaks have happened this season?
Have we had any?
Zero.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Since Bannister took over, you've had two times where you've gone three games in a row.
Well, you know, and also, too, and I really do try to think about this when it comes to players like Kevin Hayes, that not only is he moving himself and his family to a completely different city, but also, too, he's playing for a completely different team. I feel like it takes a while for you to get kind of ingrained in both.
Yeah.
And then also, too, and you could call this whatever, but I cannot imagine having your best friend brother die.
Yeah.
And you still having to try to deal with that while being a dad, while being a player, while human beings first, athletes after the fact. That is a freaking lot for any human
being.
It's
a part that I always forget about, because when you get ingrained in this,
we always talk about it. We all do.
But think about it this way, too. Like, he did not have the best time last year. Like, I know he talked about it yesterday, and people blew it out of proportion of him and John Tortorella's relationship. But Kevin Hayes wasn't happy where he was at last year. We've all been in a relationship where you weren't happy, and when you get out of the relationship, it's a little dull afterwards, right? Like, it's like, ah, oh, geez, now what do I do? And then you get into another relationship, and you're like, well, this is awkward, and you have to kind of warm yourself up to it again. It's kind of what Kevin Hayes is going through. Not that the Blues are bad,
yeah,
but like, if you're Kevin Hayes, you're still getting used to it, which is weird to say because you're 6 months in, but you're still getting used to it. It's the first full season, you know?
So yeah.
I would imagine when you got all of that that's going on in the past and now you got this, there's an acclimation period.
Well, and also too, you had the stuff with the blogger in Philadelphia,
yeah,
and you had Tortorella come to Kevin Hayes' defense.
Right.
When Hayes got that goal last night, which seemed like a bit of an oops goal, but still whatever. The way that his teammates reacted to him scoring,
oh, yeah,
I think says a lot as well.
Yeah.
So again, it's amazing how the teams work together and everybody's, you know, they're puzzle pieces that you got to try to fit. And it's crazy to me, outsider looking in, that Kevin Hayes is a piece of that puzzle that works and fits while Jordan Kyrou might not be.
Yeah.
And again, I keep going back to him because, man, if you're making that kind of money, I just feel like we should be able to see you making a difference every single night on the ice.
Yeah.
I understand you're going to make mistakes. I understand that there are going to be some nights that are better for others. We've seen that from Robert Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He has games where it's like, this is not ideal Robert Thomas, but he brings it back. And I still feel like there's something in Jordan Kyrou's head where it's just like, Like, I don't think, I honestly, man, I don't think dude gets it. Yeah. I just don't.
And I mean, you might not. It's 25 years old. Maybe it takes two more years before you get it.
We don't have two more years to wait on him.
That's the hard part. Well, and here's the thing, too. I mean, Vince Dunn was very outspoken about it, to where he took for granted where he was at when he was in St. Louis. And when he got moved to Seattle, that was the moment that it hit him, like, wow, I need to change the way I approach the game. And look at him now. He's playing like a top pair defenseman.
Right.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out where you're at. Sometimes you have to have the wake-up call to go elsewhere. David Perron was very outspoken about that when he was traded away from St. Louis. Sometimes that wake-up call is, oh, bleep, that team didn't want me. Now I got to figure it out. It's the one thing I always warn people about. Like, when you make trades with guys, they might go on and have success. Tage Thompson stings, I'm sure, for people. Doesn't for me, because you got a Stanley Cup out of it. But it might sting watching him score 50 goals in a season. But I don't know if he was ever going to be a 50-goal scorer here in St. Louis. Just like we had Chris Osgood in St. Louis, and we were like, damn, I thought we got Chris Osgood. Right. We got Detroit Red Wings Chris Osgood. No disrespect to him.
Right.
But he wasn't. But then you go back to Detroit and Chris Osgood's Chris Osgood again. Sometimes it just doesn't work.
But also, too, man, I say what I say about Jordan Kyrou and being open about a trade. I have no preconceived notions in my head that it's not going to work somewhere else. That dude is too goddamn talented at some point or the other for it to not click. Mm-hmm. But right now, where the Blues are, it just, A, it's frustrating, and B, I just start, man, if there are so many things that are ace important, and that culture is one, and if he is going to drag down the culture or continue to or give ideas to younger players about what they can and can't do or should and shouldn't do, then let's roll. Yeah. Let's figure this thing out.
This is the hard part. I mean, I'm telling you, like, in other sports, like, you know, yeah, you want a good culture, you want a good locker room, but like in baseball, it's individual performers that you need to take you to that next level. Hockey is so specific that if you don't have, if your fourth line isn't fighting for your top line, or if your third line's not fighting for your second line, or your defensemen aren't fighting for your top players, it's not going to work.
Yep.
Like, it is all, and Joey talks about this all the time, it is all about fighting for the guy next to you and putting them in a good position. And if one bad egg or three bad eggs aren't working in a locker room, Nashville is a perfect example. You had two guys that were supposed to be the leaders that it wasn't working. And they moved them out. They brought different leaders in, and everything is meshed because everybody is fighting for each other. That is a perfect example of culture in a locker room.
Hey, but it's also so confusing and confounding
as well
because you see there are nights where the Blues have it.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I want this all the time. And then it just disappears.
Well, and that's just consistency. That's bringing it every single night. I mean, I would imagine if you're on the ice and you're watching and you're thinking, damn, that guy's got it tonight. Well, if he's going to do that, I'm going to go out and do that. And then you put it out there. But then the other times it's like, well, he's not going in for that loose puck. Why am I going to go into the board battle for the loose puck? Or he's not shooting the puck. Why? You know, like, I mean, it's humanity. It's like if I see somebody who's, you know, half-assing it and be like, well, if he's half-assing it, I can.
Yeah.
When I did pest control, it's a perfect example. When I would train with guys, it would be like they'd sit in their truck a little bit longer before they'd go out and they'd do the work. And then they'd come back in and sit a little bit before they got to their next stop. Well, if they're going to do that, then why the hell am I going to get out of my truck the moment I stop at a stop? You know, like,
right.
If they're going to do it, well, why should I do it?
I keep thinking that after one of these podcasts that we do and talk about all this, that I'm going to feel better about things.
I was just going to say, why do I feel like I'm the negative one when we end these? Like,
no, I don't know. See, that's the thing.
Screw you, Ferrario.
I don't think that it is anyone being overly negative. I think that it is the true reality of the situation.
It's a retool, which is like you have to remind people this was not supposed to be a Stanley Cup contender. But also, it is not a rebuild. Because you have Binnington, Thomas, Neighbors, Parayko, you've got one of the best pipelines in the National Hockey League coming up. It's not a rebuild. It's a retool. And sometimes those take time.
Right, right. Man, oh, man. For our homeboy, Alex Ferrario, as well as Jeremy Rutherford. Let's see. Hold on. Jamie Rivers and our dude, Jeff Burton, who we miss so, so, so very much. It is the Last Minute Blues Podcast. Thank you always for listening, and let's go Blues!
The Last Minute Blues Podcast. Hear more at 1057thepoint.com.